God, because scripture says that we have a form of godliness, but we deny the power of God, that we act like God's not real. We're like his word is not true. What Jesus is saying to these people, you act like you're mine. You may even be mine, but you don't live like you're mine. Because your faith has not controlled what you do and don't do. He said, you act any old way. Oh, y'all have heard this. You know, you could get too religious. Don't take Christianity too far. It don't take all that. Hold on. God don't want religion anyway. Religion is what we offer up to God. Relationship is what God gives to us. And I don't know about you, I want all that he has for me. I want to know him more and more. I was watching the Mickey Mouse show. Me and my grandson was watching the Mickey Mouse show. I may start watching it without him. I was watching and they was in a lake and it was in a river and they was fishing and Donald Duck was in a boat by himself. He was fishing. Mickey Mouse and Goofy was in another boat, but Donald caught a fish that was so big that it started pulling his boat in the direction he didn't want to go. You better be careful what you catch hold of. We better be careful what we fishing for. We better be careful that we're not sliding, dipping, scheming. Listen, this stuff is real. This stuff is spiritual. And it don't take much for us to be slipped out of alignment. There has to be an anchor that holds us in spite of what life throws at us. He couldn't, and the line got caught up, that he couldn't get rid of the fishing pole, and his fish start tacking towards a fall. Donald and them got in their boat, and they said, Donald, Mickey got in their boat, they said, Donald, throw the line, but the line was tangled up. Whether you know or not, some of it's so tangled up that life is taking us where we don't want to go. Satan is not playing. And he would tease you till he got you. Then once he got you, he will pull you. When I was out there in the world, there was a spirit that was pushing me deeper. My attitude was changing. My mindset and my focus was getting more narrow. The longer I played with it, the longer it began to encapsize me. We don't know. The problem is, that's why God says, you're lambs. Because what you are playing with is wolves, lions, tigers, and bears in the spiritual realm, because it's not in the natural, it's in the spiritual realm, but it manifests itself in the natural realm. Right now, somebody saying, he crazy, he don't know what he's talking about. Keep on thinking that, okay? I hope you wake up. I hope you wake up. Thank God, God woke me up. We are living in a natural realm that is controlled by a spiritual realm. And notice what Jesus says in this text. He said, the storm will come. The river will overflow. The fire will ignite. It's not about if, it's when. And the question really is where are we when it happens? In our text, Jesus is not only the rock that the foundation is built on, he's also the foundation. You better know where you stand with Jesus. You better know this Christmas season. Listen, is buying gifts more important than celebrating Jesus? And it shouldn't be one day that we celebrate him. We need to celebrate him. You know, they sung it, that he loved me. He loved me in spite of me. He showed good towards me. When we recognize that, when we really recognize that, it changes your attitude. Casual Christianity is going to get shaken off because the storms that are coming, if you're not anchored. Well, I didn't finish the cartoon, did I? Let me finish the cartoon. Let me go back to the cartoon. So they're chasing after Donald, and the falls will kill him is coming. So Mickey, Goofy, and whoever else is in the boat, they had a snapping turtle. So they put the snapping turtle on their fishing line, and the snapping turtle they threw out there, and he cut the line that was pulling Daffy Donald. I'll get it right in a minute. That was pulling it. The problem now is the line was cut, but the current was still taking him down. Isn't it amazing how you can be saved and not delivered? Isn't it amazing that you can be sure not saved, but if we have not renewed our minds, if we have not made a commitment to the Lord, the same current that everybody else is flowing in will continue to push you downstream. There has to be a standing on God's truth to say, I'm going to do it your way, whether I like it or not. I'm going to trust you not for the short term. I'm going to trust you for the long term, and I'm going to leave the results in your hand. Lord, I have made a choice that I now want to live for you because you got your name on me. It matters. Tell you that it matters how you live day to day. It matters what you say. Your attitude, it matters. Listen, if it not only matters to the witness that we set before people, it matters to the blessing and how close you walk to God. You can't tell me you can do anything, act any way, have the peace of God. Some of us don't even know what the peace of God is. And you may be saved, but because you haven't surrendered and changed your mind, Satan is all up in your head. I wouldn't trade the peace and freedom for no amount of money. I wouldn't trade the fact that I know how to place everything in his hands and know that, yeah, thank you, this, that, and everything else, and everything in between. Well, because I have come to the place I know I can't handle it. How can I say this? I'm just going to say, no, Missy, you're not my church. You're God's church. I'm so glad you're not my church. I'm so glad you're God's church, because I couldn't handle it. So I have placed you in the hands of the one that can handle you, and his name is Jesus. You don't want to be in my hands. You want to be in his hands. And it's not, it's everything. God never made us to handle it. He made us to give it to him. Turn to, y'all don't believe. Turn to your neighbor and say, you can't handle it. Now hold on. Somebody just got offended. If you got offended, what that shows is at the core of who we are is pride. The enemy of us surrendering to God is that we literally believe we can handle it. Amen. Oh, no, I know, I know, I know, I know I'm not by myself. Everybody, let's do this together. Ouch. Because sin is the ideal and the thought that we can do life without God. Oh, y'all might as well say amen. Y'all might as well get happy. Don't sit there like... Because we all is in this sin virus together. You know where this attitude started? It started in Isaiah. Isaiah 14, and this is what it reads, verse 12 and 15. I did not give this to y'all. This is Satan saying, oh, how you are fallen from heaven. Oh, Lucifer, that's Satan. Lucifer means morning star, morning sunshine. He was one of the most beautiful angels God created, one of the most powerful angels. And he was so beautiful. His name means that the light of God shines on him, and he reflects and reflects the beauty of God. Yeah. You know what's so funny? And this has just hit me. That's what he made you and I for. In our character, in our attitude. And that's exactly why you're born again. That's why he calls us a diamond, a gem. The three attitudes that we ought to be flowing in is, number one is faith. Faith in God, faith in his word. Then the other one, having an expectation on God that no matter how bad it looks, I believe that God is in it with me. Matter of fact, you know what? I believe that God will be that fourth person that was with the Hebrew boys in the fire. He would be the second person in your fire. But hold on. But that doesn't mean you won't go through the fire. What it means that it won't burn you up. It doesn't mean that the flood won't come up around you. But what it means is you won't drown. Sometimes the most blessed place is going through, because once you get to the other side, you'll recognize how good God is. You don't know that God is a healer till you've been sick and God brought you through the sickness. You don't know that God is a deliverer until you was in a position that nobody can help you but Jesus, and he shows up just on time. You don't put his hands on your head and keep you in the right mind. You don't know how good he is until you can praise him in the midst of hell and mean it. Taste me. It's when God got you in a place where you don't want to be and you have no other choice but to turn to him, and he shows up. How can I say this? He can show up without changing your circumstance but make you soar in the midst of your trouble. Do I have any witnesses in the house? You don't like where you're at. You don't like what you're going through, but you have anchored yourself. Oh, let me get back to the cartoon. Mickey Mouse. So they cut the line, but the current was still carrying Donald. You know Donald. You know Donald. And what they did in their boat, they set the anchor. Y'all get me? Because without the anchor, they was being carried by the power of the stream of the river. Is there anybody who have set your anchor on Jesus? Is there anybody who say, I'm not gonna let TikTok, social media, what everybody else is doing, LA Housewives. We are so inundated by so many ideals, so many philosophies. How can I say this? I'm just gonna say it. Do you know how many people have left believing in Jesus and went to the Israelites? Because it was based on the color of skin? Listen, I don't care if Jesus white, yellow, brown, red, green. I need someone to save me from me. Has nothing to do with color. This is not an earthly thing. My soul is sick. Oh, y'all didn't hear that. If you don't know Jesus, your soul is sick. And no matter what your outward color is, your soul don't have a color and it's sick. And it needs a savior that will step in and save you from your sin. We got a sin problem. And the sin problem makes it a color problem in this world. I'm not going to allow my own prejudice to make me lose my salvation. Because how can I say this? We're living in a fallen world with fallen people that's being pushed and influenced by fallen demons that are being controlled by a fallen devil, and I refuse to go down with the crowd. I know someone that can save you from yourself and wash away your sins and make you righteous on the inside. My brother and sister, we better know in whom we believe. Doesn't matter what the rest of the world does. And you have to get in such relationship with him. It doesn't matter, because the one thing they can't take away from you is your testimony. Hold on. Let me go there. Some of us got other people's testimony. Some of it's going by what my mama and my daddy said. Some of us got it because we got that old-time religion. Do you got Jesus? Because unless you got Jesus, the old-time religion will send you to hell. The center core of our faith, the foundation, the anchor of it, is a personal relationship with Jesus. They came to Jesus and they said, tell us, what is the greatest law? And Jesus said, and it was a trap, and Jesus said, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, your strength, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. Did y'all hear that? He said the whole law is based off of love. So what's this? Your check, my check, for where I am is how much am I loving. Listen, no. Let me go back. Not loving the person that you want to impress. Not loving people that love you bad. But loving that person that gets on your last. That's where our faith kicks in. That's where are you dependent on God to help you. I'm learning, and I keep on learning. I need him more than what I thought. Hold on, let me go here. That anything I offer to him that is of my flesh is not acceptable. Come on, closer. It's not what I do, it's the attitude I do it with. Oh, shut your mouth. If I do right and my attitude is wrong, and the anchor of it is not out of love, I might as well had not did it. He's not interested in what I do. He's interested in who I am. That he will enable me to do. But if my heart's not right, then nothing I do is right. I don't care how gifted, I don't care how I preach, I don't care how much scripture I know, I don't care how I flow, if my heart not right. God will use me to bless folks and I not get blessed because my heart not right with him. Hold on. There's a caveat to this. The hardest thing to give him is my heart. Give money, do this, do that, but my heart? I know somebody's thinking, why did I come to church today? I don't know why you came to church today. Now, if you're here, you're supposed to be here. The struggle that we all have is a heart struggle. Surrender. He said, listen to his words. How is it you saying the right words? But I'm not listening to your words, I'm looking at your heart. How come you say, Lord, how come you say you love me? How come you say hallelujah? How come you say praise the Lord? But when I got you by myself, you know what I'm saying to you, and you act like I'm not speaking. Oh, I know this stuff. Know why I know this stuff? What you think he does to me? I'm not exempt. I'm sharing with y'all my personal story. But if I share with y'all my personal story, I know you going through it too. I'm not exempt, but neither are you. I could preach and say, well, we're shouting and go home. Say, then we have church today. Yeah, but what did the preacher say? I don't know. Did he preach? What did he say? I don't know. He just made me feel good. Really? God is not interested in us feeling good. He's trying to get us to see him so that we can say, Lord, I love you. The best feeling I can get in church is if I can come away knowing how much he loves me. 15 minutes. Okay, I'm going to go to Philippians chapter 2, verse 6. It says this. He said, let this mind that was in Jesus be in you. Mind, attitude, perspective. He said, he who was in the form of God, equal to God, thought it not robbery to be equal to God. Who could be equal to God but God? The third person of the Godhead who is, has always been, will always be, the Alpha and Omega, whose spirit, who created everything and everything that is created, Colossians said, was created by Jesus, for Jesus. And not only that, he holds everything together in his place. He said, all authority and power is up under him. Then it comes to Philippians and says, but he had the mindset and the love that though he was God, equal to God, he emptied himself of himself and took on a human form. The Alpha Phi said he stooped. Did y'all hear that? I don't know about you. I was lower than low. You was too, you just don't know it. I say this all the time and I mean this. I'm glad I went through what I went through, because if I would have stayed in church, I might have thought I was good. Because I have the history that I have, and I know what I'm capable of, I'll shut your mouth. Because he had to come snatch my butt, and I didn't go searching for him. Because he had to stoop to how low I was to get my attention. I cannot afford to be prideful about what he has done. Oh, shut your mouth. Because I see me at the level that I was. I know that's me. And guess what? He has the nerve to show me I was worse than that. The more he shows me himself, the more I see me and what I used to be. And I say, well, I really wasn't that stubborn, was I? Well, I really wasn't that rock-headed, was I? Oh, don't laugh at me. Take a good look at. You may not have been as bad as me, but you wasn't all that good. Because the same God that reached down and got me, reached down and got you. Somebody ought to say hallelujah. Somebody ought to say thank you, Jesus. I told y'all before that I know the camera can't flow with me all the way, but I said this a long time ago. There were certain doors I went to open, and the only reason it didn't open because God blocked it. Because if I would have went through that door, he would have never got me back. You can't even take credit for what you didn't do. It was God that put parameters on what he allowed you to do. Because if you would have got out there, he would have forever lost you. So God kept you from doing what you wanted to do. Because if it wasn't for the grace of God that kept you, you would have been lost sleeping in your grave. But the goodness of God knew how far he could let you go. There was a rope around your neck. And that rope stopped you from going out the parameters where God.
Yes, Lord Jesus. Yes, Lord, thank you.
The first stage of seeing how good he is seeing our potential of being bad. And notice what bad is. Bad is not being worse than your neighbor. Bad is walking outside of his glory.
Amen.
The standard is him. The standard is that God said, I put my glory in you, and when Adam fell, all humanity fell, that you no longer look like me. Let me give you a picture of it. The Bible gives a picture of our soul. It's in Isaiah 52 in the NIV, beginning in verse 13, and it says this. It says, and Jesus is 750 years before the coming of Jesus, but God gives Isaiah a foretelling, a prophecy of what was going to happen to our Lord and Savior. And it shows a picture of him that what the Roman soldiers did to him when they beat him. We're talking about not before he was even nailed on the cross, where he was beat. And it says that his face no longer looked human. His body was so deformed that he did not look like a son of man. I was reading that and I asked God, why so bad? And he said this. He said, he is depicting that he didn't look human because when Adam fell, he no longer looked like me. He said, I'm showing you what happened to you in the fall of your spirit, that when I look at you, unless you're born again, I no longer see me. And I think I'm good enough. And I think I can do it. So what he said is, I let him go through what he went through so that you don't have to go through that yourself. Hallelujah. He said, I fixed what you couldn't fix. And I put my judgment on him. And I gave you his righteousness. Listen, he said, not that you work for it, but I gave it to you. Because when you accept Jesus, his spirit, his spiritual DNA, the seed of Jesus is planted in you. And watch this. And it's sealed. Now, this is just glue. That don't mean nothing, okay? But when God sealed you with the Holy Spirit, can't nobody or nothing take you out of God's hand. That's something to shout about. So watch this. So I'm not saved by what I do as far as work. I say because now I'm a new me in Christ Jesus. And even if I don't walk always the way I ought to, it doesn't change my inside. Turn to the next, I'm sealed. I'm saved. And I sanctify. I don't always act like it, but I am who God says I am, and that's who I am. I'm almost finished. So they put the anchor and they take another fishing pole and they caught hold of Donald. And right when the boat went over, what you see is the fishing line went over with Donald, but all of a sudden, Mickey pulled back and Donald came flying through the air and landed in the boat of safety. Let me spiritualize this. All of us was going over. None of us could help it. All of us was going into danger. I don't care how cute you are. I don't care how much money you got. This is a thing of the heart. And unless someone stooped down, unless somebody loved us enough to get up in our mess, unless somebody loved us enough to get past our attitude, our action, and all of that, unless somebody who bypassed our faults and our pride and said, I still love you. Unless somebody called our name. He called my name. He called your name. He spoke through all the mess and he called you out. The Holy Spirit was that fishing line who reached down over the pit of hell and pulled you out. Somebody ought to shout hallelujah. Somebody say amen. Somebody say that was me. That was me. That's love. Didn't deserve it. So what's this? Because I understand, and the more I understand that, the more I want to serve him. The more I'm in love with him. Because I see, watch this, because I see more than ever just how much he loved me. Did you know this is what this is really all about? It's not about your religion. Not about you being a good person. You can't, and I can't take credit for anything. He loved you. He loved you in spite of you. He loved you. Say, he loved me. He loved me when I was bad. He loved me when I was good. I don't know why, but he loved me. Give God some praise in the house. Lord, he who knew no sin became the object of sin and took the wrath of God so you don't have to. He paid the price that you and I should have paid. and he exchanged for us his righteousness for our wretchedness. And he took the wrath of God's holiness so that we can be set free. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Those at home, I sat on the side of my bed and I said, Lord, I choose you. From that day forward, he changed me on the inside. Not perfect, but I began to fall in love with this Savior named Jesus, with this Lord named Jesus, who was ready to put up with all my imperfections, to put up with all my doubts, to put up with all my imperfectness, and he still called me his child. That's something to shout about. That's something to say hallelujah about. In spite of you, regardless of you, if you're saved, you're his child, and there's nothing the devil or you or anybody else can do about it. Hallelujah. Sealed to the day he take us home. Amen. If you call the numbers that you see, someone will call you back. He said, Lord Jesus, I accept you as my Savior, and I give my life to you. Somebody here today, and maybe you just came today, you really don't know why you came, but God is calling you. God is saying to you that I love you, and if you accept me, I will forgive you of everything, past, present, and future, because he's just that good of a God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As we stand. If you're here today, matter of fact, turn to your neighbor and say, do you know him? Do you want to walk up there with me? I will walk with you. I will walk with you. I will go with you. I know it's scary, but he's worth it. He's worth it. Even now, Lord. Even now, Lord.